this presentation of Bethel Family Church. We hope you enjoy listening and that it helps you to grow closer to Jesus.
It's good to be here. It's good to be part of our family and to worship God together. If you've been coming along to church here, you would know that we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And a few weeks ago, Kerry asked me if I would share, and I sort of thought about it for a bit, and then I thought about it for a little bit more, and I said, what topic do you want me to talk about? And then I thought about it a bit more, and it's like, do I have something to share about this topic? So this morning we're talking about goodness. But I wanted to start with just going back a few verses before. We all know the Galatians 5, 22 and 23, if you've been to church more than a few times, particularly in the last few weeks, you would have heard, you know, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I think I've got them out of order. Against such things there are no law. But there's a whole bunch of stuff where Paul's talking about living in freedom and living by the Spirit. And so I wanted to just give us a little bit of context to what he's talking about this morning, because I love that. So let's read this together. It says, for you have been called... No, we don't have to like read out loud. Just like you can read quietly and I'll read out loud, okay? Because we're going to read like a whole bunch of verses and I don't think that you guys are coordinated enough to all talk. No, it's all right. Don't start off your sermon by insulting the congregation.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, it says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. Who's heard that verse before? Love your neighbor as yourself. Yep, who said it? Well, it was originally from like Leviticus, but Jesus said it. Yes, I said it. Lots of other people have said it, but it was when they were asking Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, love your neighbour as yourself. So Paul here is referencing not only the Old Testament, but also the words of Jesus. Verse 15, love your neighbour as yourself, but if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. That's a great kind of mental image that he's given, isn't it? How often have we seen in church or seen in workplaces or, you know, obviously not this church, but in places where people always like picking at each other and, you know, biting and, you know, backstabbing and all that kind of stuff in different relationships. And it ends up being incredibly destructive, doesn't it? And Paul's saying, don't be like that. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace. Who needs a bit of peace right now? Patience, always need that. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. That's the end of the chapter, so we'll leave that there, although Galatians 6 is also fantastic if you want to read that sometime. So this morning I want to focus on goodness. What does it mean to be good? Good means a lot of things, doesn't it? We use that word a lot. Something we can have a good cup of coffee. Who enjoys a good cup of coffee? Yeah, if you want a good cup of coffee, go see Pamela at Mint Cafe. She makes a fantastic cup of coffee. Little place. She's not even here. I was hoping she'd be here today so I could embarrass her, but you know, it's like Carmela's here, yeah. Doesn't she make the best coffee? sometimes she even like writes little things in syrup on the top for me. So we enjoy coffee. What makes a good cup of coffee? We probably wouldn't all agree on that. For me, it's a caramel latte with lactose-free milk is my coffee of choice. Some of you, it sounds good. Some of you are like, nah, black coffee, keep that milk away. Like, the bitterer, the better. Yeah. Clean coffee machine makes a good cup of coffee, yeah. Cold and full of sugar. Yeah, iced coffee. Like, you know, more completely just about milk, isn't it? Nobody invited you tea drinkers here. You're not part of this conversation, I'm sorry. We're talking about coffee, thank you. I find it a little ironic that I say that because up until I turned 40, I couldn't stand coffee. Like, I never even drank coffee. And then I decided that I was a pastor and pastors drank coffee and so I needed to get with the program. And so I taught myself how to enjoy a cup of coffee. I never enjoyed tea. It's just hot brown leaf soup. A good car. Who likes a good car? Yes. But what makes a good car? Is it one that looks flash? One that gets you from point A to point B? Is it comfort? Is it the features? You got to have your wireless Apple CarPlay and your wireless phone charger and your heated electric seats and the what?
Inbuilt coffee machine.
Yeah, I'm not sure they've come up with that one yet. You know, is it one that's economical to run? You know, like who's into the, you know, the hybrids that you don't use much fuel and nobody cares about that. You know, just ruin the environment, it's fine. No. A good Lego set. Woo! I know, I had to figure out a way to put it in there somewhere. This was my Christmas present that didn't arrive until last Monday and just finished it yesterday. Star Trek Next Generation with all the little figures down there. That was such a great build. Had such fun. But we've all got hobbies. Like, what makes a good hobby? What makes a good craft? If you're into knitting, what makes a good knitting pattern? Or what makes a good plant to plant in your garden? I don't know what all you weird people are into. What makes them good? Often it's with these kinds of things, good is relative. Good is how useful to us, how they fit and meet our need, isn't it? Sometimes we use the word good in other ways. I remember when we would have a babysitter over or we'd leave the kids with their grandparents and we'd say, now you kids, be good. You know, and what did we mean by that? Behave yourself, don't cause trouble, don't be little annoying pains in the butt, follow the rules. Sometimes we will say to our friend, oh, Fred, you are such a good bloke, you are a really good friend. I really appreciate. What do I mean? He probably just did something really kind for me. He came around and mowed my lawn. No, he didn't, but yeah, what lawn, that's right. The fake grass out the back. It's looking very trim. Sometimes when we say someone's a good friend, we mean they don't annoy me. Yeah. And we say, do good to those around you. What do we mean by that? Do nice things, do kind things, things that are beneficial, things that are helpful. There's a lot of debate around the world at the moment about artificial intelligence, AI. Is AI good or is AI bad? It's a bit of both. It's an interesting dilemma, isn't it? It depends a lot, like a lot of things, it's a tool and it depends on how we use it. But I used it today. This is Google's AI overview of what is a good thing, of good. So let's see what you think about Google's AI here. The Bible presents doing good as an essential, proactive outflow of faith rather than a means of earning salvation. It is described as a call to love others through tangible actions, generosity, and service to all people, especially the household of faith, without growing weary or expecting rewards. Doesn't sound too bad, does it? I think AI did a pretty good job there. There's even some, if you're familiar with a few Bible verses about doing good to others, you probably even recognise some there. Doing good to all people, especially those in the household of faith, or without growing weary or expecting rewards, there's Galatians 6 there. There's lots of things that, particularly in a church context, when we talk about doing good. And for me, there was this whole thing of, when I was growing up in a Pentecostal church, there was always this underlying attitude of we looked down on people who focused on social justice and doing good for people and that sort of thing, because we were all about evangelism and sharing the gospel, and that was the only thing that mattered. Now, while evangelism is certainly important and should be our number one priority, I think we also need to be people who do good in our community. I want to share with you a couple of fancy Greek words here, because these are the two words that are most commonly translated in the New Testament as good. So there's this first word, which is kalos. Not Carlos, when your car gets stolen, but kalos. And this word is kind of, it leans more towards this idea of outward beauty, of things that are visible, of actions. You know, it might be my amazing good-looking wife, or it might apply to an action that is generous or beneficial to another. In the New Testament is used for good works. When John in chapter 10 describes the good shepherd, it uses this word kalos to describe the good shepherd, because he feeds the sheep, he leads them to water, he protects them, he keeps them safe. The second word we have here is agathos, which is more this kind of inner inherent goodness, the essence of character and ethical virtue. And this is the kind of goodness that is mentioned in Galatians 5 when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, that living by the Spirit produces in us this kind of character, this virtue, this desire to be good inherently. But it all comes from the Spirit. When we read Galatians, we see that it is not us that produce the fruit, but it is the Spirit that produces this kind of fruit in us. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus talks about how a good tree produces good fruit. Have I got it there? Yeah. A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce fruit. What do you call a tree that produces bad fruit? A bad tree. That's not a good fruit tree, is it? No. You have a good fruit tree, it's good because you get good fruit off it, isn't it? And so every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. It's a waste of space, it's a waste of water, it's a waste of fertilizer, it's a waste of time, it's a waste of energy. Because you get nothing from it. But it goes on, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. And so much of when the Holy Spirit is producing goodness in us, when we are becoming or growing into good people and being led by the Spirit, that becomes something that is outworked around us, doesn't it? When we have a heart that loves people, it's really hard to hold back when we see people in need. When we have a heart that wants to care about people, it's hard to sort of sit back and be indifferent to their suffering or their sorrow. What starts from the inside works its way out through our lives and becomes visible as it grows in our life. James, in chapter 2, talks about how you can't have faith without works. If you have faith, you will. If you have that is true and genuine faith, it'll outwork itself in some way. Faith without works is dead, he says. But neither of these, like, it's not like one of these is better than the other. It's like they both really go together. Scripture encourages us to be both kalos and agathos, to be both morally righteous and right with God and obeying God's precepts and being a good person, but also being relationally gracious, being caring for others. Some of you might know, just not quite 6 months ago, I started a job working at Mission Australia as a community chaplain. Who knows what a community chaplain is? Yeah. Katie does. Woo! Good stuff, Katie. So it is a really interesting role, and I started back in August, but the community chaplain role was really only kind of created about four and a half years ago as a pilot to look at how can we do good in our community? How can we help our communities? And so my role is twofold. It's helping to develop people's spiritual well-being, but it's also about strengthening our community. And so at the moment, this is a trial kind of project that comes out of Mission Australia's desire to meet human need and spread the knowledge of the love of God in our communities. That's their mission statement. And so I've been working with community services in this kind of this dual role. Well, it's not a twofold role. But it's amazing because I get paid to do good stuff for our community and for people in our community. How many of you want my job now? it is amazing. Like, my whole job description is to do good stuff. So there's a lot more words than that, but that's kind of what it boils down to. And to write reports so that we can get funding of, you know, all that kind of stuff about what we do. And that's so amazing that there's this organisation that kind of recognises the importance of, for us as Christians and as believers, to do good in our community. There we go. So Mission Australia is an organisation that's all around the country. It started from Brisbane and Sydney inner city missions. So it was started by Christians about 150 years ago. In Whyalla, we have funding for programs that are helping homeless and those that are at risk of homelessness in young people. We do alcohol and drug rehabilitation and helping young people. So most of our programs are focused on young people 25 and under, youth and young adults, because we want to, I guess, help to prevent long lives lived with struggles in these kind of areas. If we can get in early, it's going to help set people up for life. So we want to help young people who are wanting to reduce their drug and alcohol use, and to do that and get that under control. And the third program is in family and youth mental health. So So we work in those three areas, particularly as an organisation, but I sort of work across all of that kind of stuff. So I get involved in lots of community stuff, talking with different people. But one of the things that Mission Australia is actually really also interested in is working alongside Christian churches. So Mission Australia identifies itself as a Christian organisation. We have Christian chaplains and we work with churches. And so Mission Australia is not just about doing good in our community, and my role as community chaplain is not just about doing good in the community, but partnering and engaging with churches to help churches do good in our community. How many of you know that sometimes we want to do good stuff, but we don't always know what or how? And sometimes there are really good things happening that we could be part of that we just don't know about. And so that's part of my job too, is about being a connection, a person who talks with churches and different community organisations and helps us to partner together to do good things in our community. Some of the time we go, well, when we're supposed to do good, what does God mean when he tells us to do good? And often I come back to that scripture, because there's a lot of things that we can look at and go, well, that might be a good thing. Maybe not, I don't know. How do we start? Where do we go? And this verse here is one from the book of Micah in the Old Testament, probably in those minor prophets, in those clean pages of your Bible. And there's this sense, if you read through this chapter, it's like the people are saying, well, what do we have to do? Do we have to, you know, to please God and to make God happy? Do we have to sacrifice all, you know, rams? Do we have to give the thousands of bushels of oil? Do we have to do this? Do we have to sacrifice our children to please God? And the words from Micah say, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. That's a pretty good summary of doing good, isn't it? This is what it means to live as a person who carries the name of Jesus, which we do as Christians, don't we? We are representatives of who Jesus is. We are representatives of who God is. That's what we're called to do. It says, this is how you do it. Do what's right. Love mercy. You know, what does it mean to love mercy? Is don't hold grudges. Forgive. Be kind when people don't deserve it. Do good when people don't deserve it. Don't pay back evil for evil. Love those who persecute you. Hate those who... pray for those who despise you and hate you. This is what it means to love mercy. Jesus expanded on this and he taught us about this, didn't he? You recognize some of those phrases, words, terms, verses? Yeah? And to walk humbly with your God. Galatians 6:9. Some of you would have been familiar with this one. Galatians 6, he says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Sometimes it's frustrating, isn't it? We feel like we're doing good, we're caring for people, and it doesn't accomplish anything. They don't appreciate it. Why should I keep doing good in my workplace? Because nobody seems to care. And God says there will be a harvest of blessing at the right time. Doesn't say when, doesn't say what that looks like, but it says trust that God is faithful, that he rewards our obedience and rewards when we do the right thing, even if other people don't. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Coming back to Galatians 5, coming back to goodness, coming back to that fruit of the Spirit. It is staying connected with Him that produces this fruit in our lives. John chapter 15, you know this verse, Jesus talking about, He says, stay in me, stay connected to me. It says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Ultimately, it comes down to this. If we want the fruit of the Spirit to be growing and evident in our life, we have to be connected to Jesus. We have to be living His way. We have to be allowing His Holy Spirit to guide and lead us and be submitted to that. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it by trying really, really hard to keep the law like the Pharisees did. Remember those guys? Ones who had a really hard time with Jesus. They devoted their entire lives to obeying God's law, and yet they missed completely when God Himself came. In Galatians 5, just right at the beginning of that chapter, I didn't read it before, but I just want to just touch on this quickly. Galatians 5, I find this quite amusing, and I'm going to explain to you why in just a moment. It's a really unusual, almost weird topic to find amusing, but Paul has a great sense of humor here. He says, listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ will be of no benefit for you. Now, circumcision is not something that we practice as much these days as Christians, but in the Jewish culture, it was a symbol of, for men, it was a sign that you were part of, that you were a child of the covenant. That you were a son of Abraham, that you were an heir of the promise, that you were part of God's people. And then Paul comes along and says, oh no, you don't need to worry about that anymore. And we wonder why they were a bit upset with him. But he says, I'll say it again, if you're trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off from Christ. You have fallen away from God's grace. So here's Paul talking about this really serious topic of circumcision, and he's making jokes about being cut off. The word that he uses here, when he says you've been cut off from Christ, is a word that means to render inoperative, inactive, or to deprive of power. What he's saying here is that if you're trying to get right with God by doing the right thing, if you're trying to get right with God in your strength by controlling your actions and your behavior, the power that you were once connected to through Christ has been switched off. You've been unplugged. It's like, you know, you've failed to pay your electricity bill and they've turned off the power. And what he's saying is that the power for living this way comes from Christ. It only comes through the grace that we have through accepting that Jesus died for us and on our behalf, so we have now been transformed into a new creation and can now live by the Spirit, because it doesn't depend on us doing everything right and obeying the law, but it depends on Christ and what He's done. Good fruit comes from staying connected to Jesus, from living by the Spirit, being connected to Him and allowing Him to direct our lives, by listening to the Spirit as the Spirit speaks to us. Not by an act of our will or by our effort, by trying really hard. We can't do it without the power of God in us. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Can we pray together about that? Father, we are so aware of our own inadequacies, our own failings, the times when we've tried so hard to do the right thing and it was just too difficult for us. We couldn't get it right all the time. People were too frustrating or annoying or whatever the case might have been. And Lord, we acknowledge that we need you. We cannot live your way and live to your standard without you helping us and at work in our lives. So God, we pray that you would be speaking to us, helping us to do that, helping those the fruit of the Holy Spirit to be growing and outworking. Lord, that the goodness that we see in you would be reflected in us as we allow your Spirit to shape us and mold us into the image of Christ. Lord, we thank you that you died on the cross, that you made a way for us to be restored into right relationship. You made a way for us to be transformed, to be brought back to life, to put a new spirit within us, a new heart within us. Lord, we pray that you would walk through life with us, that we would be sensitive to your guiding and your direction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information or to listen to other podcasts, head to our website at bethelcrc.org.au or check out Bethel Family Church on Facebook.